Title of my message is Unshakable. I got this message one day. My parents asked me to speak at my home church over Thanksgiving break, and I was out reading my devos. I was praying. I was like, man, like I really need something. And during that time, I was really going through a lot. I was going through a lot of lies in my head, a lot of just different things that I was struggling with. And I opened my Bible to Psalms, and I'd been going through the book of Psalms, book by chapter by chapter, and I got to chapter 62 that day, and so I read chapter 62, and chapter 62 says in the ESV, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." Oh, sorry, I had to start my timer. "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." I read this verse and I was sitting out in front of the Manna House on one of the picnic tables. And I read that and I stopped and I started thinking about it. I shall not be greatly shaken. I shall not be greatly shaken. And the word that really hit me, the word that really touched my heart and I was pondering on was greatly. I shall not be greatly shaken. And in my mind, I stood up on the table. I was walking back and forth and it's creaking. And I thought, greatly shaken, greatly shaken. Well, if I shall not be greatly shaken, that means shaking will come. So I shall not be greatly shaken. I get it. And so I'm thinking about this, and that's where the message began to form. I opened my journal. I started to write down what I felt. I wrote down a couple of points, and I really started to feel this message. But then I started to think, the message didn't fully come together until I went home for Thanksgiving. And I went over to the church that Saturday night and I started praying about it and I started reading back over my notes. And the message didn't fully form until I got over to the church. But another question that I was thinking is shaking. So what is shaking? I don't know about any of you guys. Have any of y'all ever experienced an earthquake? Raise your hand. This is going to be like interactive here, okay? Well, a lot of you. Wow, okay. I experienced an earthquake in 2011. I'm from Virginia originally. And in 2011, an earthquake hit my hometown in the state of Virginia. I was 13 years old, and I was weeding in a flower bed for one of the little old ladies in my town with my older brother. And we're over there, and we're weeding the flower bed, and all of a sudden, the ground begins to shake. And I'm standing there and I'm weeding and I'm like, what the heck? And I look up and the power lines are shaking by the road and I'm like, good grief. And I look over at my brother and my brother's looking at me like this. And I'm like, bro, what the heck? And he's like, dude, it's an earthquake. And I just listened. I just done a class on earthquakes. And so in my mind, I'm like, holy cow, we got to get to an open field so like buildings don't collapse on us. And so like I back up from the house and then it stopped. But I remember in that moment of the shaking and everything going crazy and my brother and I looking at each other like, what are we going to do? I remember feeling so afraid. I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do because the very ground I stood on was shaking. I don't know about y'all, but I take for granted every day that when I walk out of my house and I make sure the door doesn't slam so the people in my apartment don't wake up, I walk outside, I step on the sidewalk and it doesn't go anywhere. Like I can walk on the sidewalk, up the hill, to the kitchen, and the whole time I'm not falling through into wherever, the abyss. The ground's not moving. I'm not like walking like this the whole time. I'm able to walk to work. And so I don't know about y'all, but I take for granted that my ground don't move in the morning or any part of the day. And so, but this is a lot like our lives. We can build our lives on a foundation. And sometimes where you build your foundation, sometimes in life, trials and shakings happen, and what you built your life on begins to shake. The things that you built your life on, maybe your family members. I'm sure we all love our family. And if you don't love your family, you have friends that you love. And you've built your life maybe on these friendships, on your family member, your ministry maybe. And you've built your foundation on these things. And then one day, like in 2020, COVID-19 hits and churches shut down. Family members go into the hospital, friends go into the hospital. You can't visit them because they're afraid that you're going to get sick. your church shuts down. You were in ministry at your church and you were thriving. That's where your foundation was built. That's where you found comfort. That's where you found stability. That's where you found who you were. And now it's shut down and you can't go there. And you feel like your life is completely shattering. You have no idea where to go, what to do. In our lives, shaking has come. And in the Bible, if there was anyone that knew this better, I would say it was David. As I was at home and I was in the church and I was praying and I was reading, it's funny, I hadn't studied really that whole time. Like I figured, oh, I'm just gonna preach on the shaking, hey. And I really didn't have an idea of what that was. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, God, like I have nothing. I don't have anything. Like, and in my mind, the story from 1 Samuel chapter 30 came to my mind. And this story is a story about David. Now, if anyone knows anything about David, this man faced some shaking. From a young boy, he was put out into the fields by himself with the sheep. He was supposed to watch over the sheep. And what happened? A bear and a lion came. And what did David do? David stood up and he fought the bear and he fought the lion. Then later on, when Samuel came to Jesse, David's father, he was like, bring all your sons out. I'm gonna pick the next king. And David gets left in the field with the sheep. Like, man, Dad, thanks a lot, bro. And so, David, like, I don't know about y'all, but I would have been shaking in that moment. Man, Daddy, I thought you loved me, bro. David goes and fights Goliath. And that was another moment probably of shaking. In that moment, he probably experienced, again, more shaking. Then he made friends with Saul, and he was like Saul's right-hand man. And then Saul decides he doesn't like him anymore, and he wants to kill David. And so now David's on the run for his life. And so that's another moment of shaking in David's life. But another moment that I want to talk about today is David at the city of Ziklag. So during David's running from Saul, funny enough, David takes shelter with one of the Philistine leaders. Go figure, he just killed Goliath, you know. But he takes shelter with one of the Philistine leaders and he and David's men, the men that came out to go with David everywhere, would fight with the Philistines every once in a while against different armies that would come up against them. And one particular day, the Philistines were going out to fight the Israelites. And the leader of, one of the leaders of the Philistines that David was friends with is like, all right, David, you know you're going out with me. We're gonna fight the Israelites. And David's like, okay, sure, my people, that's great. I'm gonna fight my own people, okay. And so David picks up his men. They leave their city of Ziklag. They leave their family. They leave their children. They leave their parents, whatever. They leave their possessions and they leave their home and they go out to fight with the Philistines. Well, they get halfway there, they get there, whatever. And all of a sudden, all the other leaders of the Philistines are like, hold up, isn't that dude like David, like that dude that killed Goliath? And he, oh yeah, that's that guy. And he's like, why is he here? Tell him to go home. Like he's gonna get in the middle of the battle and he's gonna start killing us instead of the Israelites. And so this leader goes back to David and he's like, yo, David, you're gonna have to go home, man. Like, can't really have you here right now. You know, so go home to Ziklag, we'll fight the battle. We appreciate you, but you know, go on home. And so David's like, okay, I didn't wanna fight my people anyway. So David starts to go home and David goes home with his men just to see Ziklag burning and empty. All of his possessions gone. His wife, his children, his men's wives, his men's children gone. His home probably burning. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against Negeb and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of all the people were bitter in soul, each of his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So in this moment, David comes and the city is burning. His wives, his children, his possessions, all gone. And now his own men, probably his best friends, his guys that went with him, like later on in Samuel, we talk about David's mighty men, right? Those mighty men came from these men that were with David this whole time. So now even these men, they're all talking about stoning him because they're accusing David. It's your fault, my man. Like if we wouldn't have left, we could have been here and we could have fought off these people that came and stole off our wives and our children and everything, okay? And this leads into my first point. Moments of shaking come, but when they come, encourage yourself in the Lord. David in this moment, he sees all that's going on. Now his men are talking about stoning him. And David, it says in verse 6, David strengthened himself in the Lord. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. David didn't go into what I like to call the Corey moment. Okay, so a lot of times when I face shaking, man, I'm like shaking. And I start getting into, man, if I would have only done this. Man, if I would have only done that. I could have done this, I could have done that. Then I get depressed and I'm like, oh man, I'm such a failure. I can't believe I did that. And like, I just get into like crazy moments of just like, it's ridiculous. But David didn't get into a Corey moment. He did not. It does say he was greatly distressed, but then it says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. I see David in this moment. All this is going on around him, and David just takes a step back. And he turns around, and he just walks off to the side, and he starts praying. And he starts spending time with his God. It's in this moment that I see David writing Psalms. You read throughout the Psalms and you read Psalms of David saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You read these Psalms and I imagine, probably not this one, but I imagine David going off to the side and starting to either read, starting to remember all the times that the Lord was with him before. And he starts to write Psalms. He starts to praise the Lord. He starts to encourage himself in the Lord. He starts reminding himself of who he is, of what God has done in his life. He encourages himself in the Lord. Many times we'll be faced with moments of shaking. Over the last 2 years, a ton of shaking has taken place. Members of our family have gone into the hospital, and maybe you've lost your job. Maybe someone you know has lost their job. Maybe you had to move. Maybe your church shut down and now you've come to this church because this church is open. Maybe your pastor got thrown in prison. I heard a story earlier this week of a pastor who was preaching the word of God, and now he's under a lot of flack because a member of his church family has passed away from COVID-19. And now they're coming at, the media is attacking his church. The media is coming after his life because they don't want him to preach the gospel. They don't want us to be victorious in the word of God. People want us to fall. The shaking is happening in this man's life. But I want to encourage you in these moments of shaking, remember who you are. Remember what God has called you. Remember this pastor. I want this pastor to remember that God is his rock, that God is his refuge, that he will not leave him, that he will not forsake him, that God has met him in the past and he's going to meet him in the future. God has met you. God will meet you again. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're struggling with right now, whatever shaking is taking place in your life, remember who your God is. Remember what he's brought you from. Remember what he's going to know, what he's going to bring you through. He loves you. He says it all throughout the Bible. David says it in the Psalms. God, your steadfast love, the steadfast love of the Lord, the steadfast love. What is steadfast? Immovable. Immovable love of God. It cannot be moving. It cannot be shaken. The love of God is in your life. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what failure you think defines you because it does not define you. Nothing defines you but the word of God. The Lord God said that you are his son, you are his daughter, and you are not defined but the world says. You are not defined but what Satan says, but what you tell yourself. Oh, I'm a failure. Oh, I'm broken. Oh, I failed in this area. Oh, I failed in that area. You are not defined by your words, by the words of the people in this country, by the words of the nations. by your teachers. You're defined by the word of God. The word of God is what defines you. And he calls you loved. He calls you a son and daughter of God. You are not defined by the world. So rejoice. Rejoice in your struggle. Rejoice in your shaking, because you know that you are not defined by it. You are defined by what God calls you. He calls you loved. And in your moment of breaking, in your moment of shaking, in that moment where you just feel completely broken, you feel like you've walked out of the love of God, out of the grace of God, guess what? You can't walk out of the grace of God. You can't walk out of the love of God. It is immovable. It is unshakable. You will not be greatly shaken. Point two. Don't fear the shaking. In times of shaking, God begins to build you and teach you who you are in him. It's in times of shaking that you are reminded of where you have built your foundation. In the story of David at Ziklag, this confidence and strength that David displays. So what happens is David, he goes off to the side and he starts encouraging himself in the Lord. But that's not the end. Yes, David encourages himself in the Lord, and then he comes back. And I imagine, I don't know about y'all, but when you get off and you do your devotions and you pray, and sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes you come back towards your day and you're like, come at me, bro. I got God on my side. And so you come off, I imagine David coming back and he's still like kind of dealing with the fear and the struggling of not knowing exactly what to do. But he comes back and he says, I'm going to pray. And so he calls for the priest, and he gets, either way, it's this thing that you put on. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But he starts to pray, and he's like, God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to chase after these people? Will I have victory? I don't know. What would you have me to do? And God says, go after them, you will have victory. And what happens, what we see happening is now David, he goes off with his men. He chases down these people that have stolen his family, his wives, his children, his possessions, burned his comfort zone to the ground. He goes off and he chases them. And he defeats them. And not only does he defeat them, but then he comes back with more spoil than he had. He comes out with more treasure. He comes out with more things. And this is what's gonna happen in your life. When you face shaking, and maybe you do have times of depression, maybe you do have times of anxiety because of the shaking, but I'm gonna tell you something. When you get out of that depression, when you get out of that anxiety, and God brings you out of it, and he says, go and fight, go and take back what was yours. When you come out of that, and when you go and you attack, and you fight that shaking off, you're gonna come out stronger, you're gonna come out more courageous, you're gonna come out more bold, and you're gonna come out knowing who you are in Christ. Because in the shaking, God is building you. God is breaking you. God is building you up to be more of a conqueror. It's in the times of shaking that we're built up. We remember where our foundation is. David comes up, he goes out and he attacks and he destroys them, and we're going to come out better. We're going to come out greater because of the shaking. Let the shaking come. Let it come. I heard a pastor here once when I was a student. The pastor told me, he told the whole class, he said, you will know when you're growing in your faith. You will know when you're growing in your spirituality or whatever. I don't remember exactly what he said. But he said, I know this, that he said, you will know that you're growing when you ask God for the shaking. He didn't say shaking, but he said, when you ask God for the trial, when you ask him to bring it on, that's when you're growing, because you know in that moment, yes, when he does bring it, yes, I asked for it. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, I'm going to struggle. Yes, I may go into depression. Yes, I may go into anxiety. But when it comes, I know my God is with me. I know my God is strengthening me. I know my God has never, will never, ever, and has never, ever left me. And he will not forsake me. And he will be with me in this moment. Maybe I don't feel it. Maybe I don't know if he's there. Maybe I can't feel him, but I know he's there. Because in my quiet place, off by myself, reading my devotions, being with him in prayer, being in this church with family members and other members of this church that encourage me, speak into my life, I felt him. I know him. I have a relationship with him. David, this confidence, this strength that he displays, it didn't come from just oh man, I'm just gonna step up, I'm gonna do it. No, it didn't come from that. It came from being in the fields with the sheep. Your strength, your courage, your boldness, it will come from your quiet time. It will come from those moments that you spend with Jesus Christ alone. When you're sitting in your room and maybe you're going through the shaking, you're like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't feel you. And I don't even know what to pray. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in some shaking moments. And in these shaking moments, I can't even pray because I said, I don't know what to pray. And I had a student once tell me, he said, Corey, when you say you don't know how to pray, that's a prayer because God hears it. When you don't know how to pray, just pray. When you don't know how to pray, just be like, God, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say, but I'm going through this and I'm going through that and I don't feel you. You're praying and he hears you. In your moments of shaking, look for them with honestly anxious anticipation. Look for that shaking with anticipation because you know that in that shaking, you're going to grow. In that shaking, you're going to become more of what God has called you to be. Psalm 62 wasn't written at Ziklag. When I first preached this sermon, I thought it may have been. But actually, Psalm 62 was written when David's own son tried to take the throne. Absalom came in, he came back from being away, and he stood at the gate and he started talking to people that were coming out. So what did the king give you? Like, what was the king's verdict on your situation? And they would tell him, and he'd go, well, I would have done this, and I would have done that. And slowly, Absalom starts to steal the hearts of the people of Israel. And slowly he begins to get a following. Slowly begins his Instagram page. Man, follow, 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 because everybody likes to hear what they want to hear, okay? So Absalom starts to raise in popularity. And eventually Absalom leaves and comes up with this elaborate scheme to become king in this one place, okay? And so David, he knows about it. He knows what is happening. So David and his whole court, they pick up and they start to leave Jerusalem. And according to historians, Psalm 62 was written during this time. In Psalm 62, I see all these people, all David's whole court getting up and walking away, turning around and saying, all right, we gotta get out of here. And in Psalm 62, it says, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. For him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. He's remembering again. He's remembering again what happened at Ziklag. He's remembering again his moment with Bathsheba when he failed. He's remembering again not going out to war. He's remembering again his battle with Goliath. He's remembering again his battle with the lion and the bear. He's remembering again running from Saul in the wilderness. And he begins to pen. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse, Selah. For God alone, oh, my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. But put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, belong steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his works. I don't know about y'all, but you read Psalm 62 and you remember what David's going through in this moment. You remember that his kingdom is being taken from him by his very son. And you start to think, how in the world did he write that? How does he talk about the steadfast love of God? How does he say that, oh, on God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. He says it because he knows it. He can say it because he knows it. He lived it. He was in the quiet place. He was in alone with God. And God built that in him. And so for David, yeah, he had to leave. Yes, it was hard. Yes, he didn't want to leave Jerusalem. But he left and he knew that it was okay because God was his rock, that God was his fortress. In closing, in Matthew, we read about Jesus dying on the cross. We read about how he was beaten and how he was battered to the point of unrecognition. A doctor actually on YouTube, you can look it up, it's actually quite phenomenal, goes through the beating that Jesus received and goes through the different things that Jesus would have gone through at crucifixion. And he said, and I forget the exact number, but he said he should have died countless amount of times. Jesus should have died when he was beaten. Jesus should have died when on the walk to the cross. Jesus should have died while they were nailing him to the cross. But he survived. And he hung on the cross. And on the cross, as he was hanging there, with his last breath, he says, "It is finished." I had a student come up to me one day in the kitchen before I went home, before this message was even thought of. And he was talking to me about one of the pastor's messages. And he said, "Corey, when Jesus said, 'It is finished,' what was finished?" And I stood there and I was like, "Oh, dude, that's easy, man. His work was finished. His work on the cross was finished." And he's like, "Yes, it was. It was his work on the cross was finished. But what was his work, Corey?" And I started to think about it. And I thought, well, his work of redemption, his work of love, his work of grace. When Jesus died on the cross, in Hebrews, in the chapter 12, it says in verse 2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." In verse 27 of the same chapter of Hebrews, it says, this phrase yet once again indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, the things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. What was the joy that was set before him? Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, endured facing death countless times. And he should have died, but he didn't. He endured it for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? The joy was a kingdom that cannot be shaken. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, when you realize that, when you admit that you are a sinner, that there is no good thing in you, our righteousness is as filthy rags, there is nothing good in us. And when you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again for us, for me, even in my sinful state now, because we're being slowly corrected. It's the process of sanctification. We're not perfect and we accept Christ into our hearts. It's a slow process. And when you believe, when you confess, when you admit, and when you believe that he died, and he rose again, that he died for your sins, and you accept him, you enter into a kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, that cannot be shaken. David, I believe David, he wrote about not being able to be greatly shaken. David wrote about being steadfast. I believe he wrote about it not knowing about the future, but knowing that God was unshakable. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you will be shaken. I believe that there is a time coming that we're going to be shaken to our core. Look at this pastor who has preached the word of God, who has done what God has called him to do, and now he's facing a ton of repercussions for it. The church is being shut down. Shaking is coming. And where is your foundation? If your foundation isn't in the word of God, if your foundation isn't on the love of God, the understanding that you cannot make him hate you, that it doesn't matter your sin, that you can always go back to him. If you're right now sitting in this building and you're thinking, man, I think I've maybe fallen out of the grace of God. Man, I don't know. If you're thinking that, maybe I'm like of a reprobate mind. I don't know. If you're thinking that, Pastor Nick once said, if you're thinking it, you're not really in danger. Like, you can still repent because you're thinking about it. Coming to that point is when you don't even think about it anymore. You're just doing whatever you want to do and you don't think, oh, I'm fine, I'm okay. But if you're thinking about, man, what if I fail? Like, I don't know if I can come back. You can. He wants you to come back. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could live in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Are you living in it? Are you letting your shaking shake you to the point of where you don't even believe it anymore? Oh, I don't feel him. If I don't feel him, how can I believe it? Sometimes you can't go by your feelings. I can't tell you the amount of times that I pick up this book and I come in here and I pray and I don't feel anything. The Lord, I don't get anything. My brother once told me, he said, Corey, the hardest time in my life was a year that I didn't feel God talking to me. He said, but Corey, I picked up my word and I read it every day and I prayed and I asked him, why don't I feel you? Why don't I hear you? And God, I don't know why I can't, but I'm gonna trust you. Though I don't hear you, though I don't feel you, I'm gonna trust you because your word says that you will never leave me. Your word says that you're a good shepherd. Your word says that you're setting a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't feel him, he's there. Trust him. You cannot be shaken. You cannot be shaken. You're unshakable. Check yourself. Check where your foundation is built. Is it on your ministry? Because your foundation can be built in things that are good. Oh man, I help out at the homeless shelter and I work at church, I work in a kitchen and man, I serve food for all the students. Man, I'm a good person. No, you're a failure. And no, you can't earn the love of God. You don't deserve the love of God. You don't, but he gives it. See, when that lie comes into your mind, oh, I don't deserve the love of God. You're right. I don't, but you can't take it away from me. Remember where your standing is, y'all. Remember what your foundation is built. Build it, build it. Don't think you're okay just going into church on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Have that personal time with him. Build that relationship because when the shaking comes, that's what's going to get you through. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this word. Lord God, I thank you for that kingdom that cannot be shaken. Lord God, I thank you for your death and your resurrection on the cross. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you saw me, that you saw the people in this room. You saw the difficulties that they were gonna face. You saw the struggles that they were gonna face, the shaking that they were gonna face. And Lord Jesus, you loved them. And you said, come to me. All you are who are laden, and I will give you rest. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're going to give rest to them. Lord God, I pray that you would encourage them in their moments of struggle. Lord Jesus, those online, those that are in this room, Lord Jesus, that are just the people from the community, and Lord Jesus, the students in this room. Lord Jesus, I don't know their struggle. I don't know their shaking. I don't know what they're going through, but Lord God, you see it. And Lord Jesus, you hear their cries. Lord Jesus, there are students in this room that are going home to things that I could not even imagine. And Lord Jesus, I don't know if if I would have the strength to endure. But Lord God, they're going home with an excitement. Lord Jesus, hoping to share your word, share what you've done in their hearts. Lord God, I pray your protection over each and every one of the people in this room, the students, the congregants of this church. Lord Jesus, those over online. Lord God, I pray your protection over them. I pray, Lord Jesus, for your reminder that your spirit would just whisper to them, reminding them of who they are. Lord Jesus, that they are a people that cannot be shaken, that are unshakable, that are in your love. Lord Jesus, and there's nothing they can do to step out of that. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you for your anointing, Lord Jesus, on this service. And Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just stay here in this room, but Lord God, it would follow each and every one of these people outside. Lord Jesus, that as they go home, as they go back to the dorm, Lord Jesus, they would just rest in your presence today. In your name we pray.